is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. My name is Father Brian Nolan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are blessed. The topic for today is World Youth Day Changed My Life, and especially not just the initial fruits, but long-term fruits. And so we're here today with Greg and Susan Rohr, who had an experience in Denver that also affected the life of another person who's a priest of the Archdiocese, Father Colin Poston. So Greg and Susan Rohr, special welcome to you today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Right. So a lot of people are coming back from World Youth Day in Portugal, and a lot of people have been focused in it, but the temptation could be sometimes the retreat high or the World Youth Day high. And today, so we're talking about a little bit more longer term fruits. And it doesn't just have to be the week-long experience with the Holy Father in another country, but we can still see the fruits. So why don't we start with Greg and Susan, what was your inspiration to go to World Youth Day in Denver?
Well, it was 1993. It seems like just yesterday, but not really. And Susan had just had finished up RCA program, and we were just really, really getting into our faith in a really special way, going to Mass and going to confession, going to sacraments, and
every
being
day,
Catholic
yeah.
really became, yeah, became the biggest part in our lives, biggest thing in our lives. And our best friend, Colin, he was not Catholic, but he was a Christian, and he was our best friend, and somehow, you know, the more we got involved with like a Bible study or praise music or these tapes of Bible studies and those kind of things, and Colin would be there, and he kind of started absorbing all this stuff as well. And then we had this opportunity to go see the Pope at World Youth Day. Susan especially, like, I really was feeling a big part of the church, and if you want to be a part of the church, then World Youth Day is really the place to go, right? Because there's the Holy Father and there's all these people from all over the world. And so everything kind of fell into place. Someone to watch our children and got off of work and those kind of things. And it just kind of just fell into place to go. But it was a 30-hour drive. So we knew we needed a third driver. And it sounds mean, but maybe it's not, but I said, Colin really should go because we do need a third driver. And I mean, he was our best friend as well. But so we asked him, and he was able to get off work, and he was real excited about it. And so we actually went from Hagerstown to Denver in 30 hours straight. And the whole time, I don't know, Susan, if you want to take over here. But
Susan, if you can share, I mean, 30 hours, that's not around the corner. I wouldn't have necessarily thought, I think I'm going to drive 30 hours to see the Pope. Like, what moved you to say, we have to go?
As a convert, I just want to say that it was amazing how the more you learned the truths of the faith, like you mentioned, I was going to RCIA. It's actually my second RCIA. I became Catholic before we married, and I felt like I needed to learn more. I had this great desire, and I did. I took another second RCIA, which opened my eyes to the amazing truths of the church. And all I kept thinking was, oh my gosh, God really did create a family. And I mean, learning that Pope means Papa and, you know, Father was totally like intimate to me. And I said to Greg when he mentioned something about World Youth Day, I'm like, well, we have to go. And he said, well, you can't just go and see the Pope. I'm like, yes, we can. I'm like, absolutely can. We have to see him. And I'm not going to say everything fell into place. The Lord wants us to make effort. So we had to ask people's help, you know. Father, I mean, Colin was our best friend, and we thought we needed help driving. But even more than that, I thought he would love experiencing everything we were experiencing too. And we had relatives take care of our children, and it was amazing how God blessed our desire to be there. Mm-hmm. And in our journey being there, on the way, we played Bible studies and praise music. We prayed the rosary, and it was the most amazing experience to share all the truths of faith. And you mentioned people coming back from World Youth Day, and I want to say that going on retreats is definitely a high, and the Lord allows us to feel amazing intimacy with Him. what really is staggering to me is that heights of truth don't go away. And they carry you through all your feelings, you know, all the struggles, all the trials, all the joys, all the everything, because the heights of truth are glorious and they're mm-hmm. deep and profound, and those don't go away.
Greg, can you share with me what things stood out to you when you got there? Like, what was your experience?
I guess, like Susan was saying, like family, just we just felt connected, everybody there. It was like everybody there was there because they were Catholic. They were there for the Papal Mass. They were there for World Youth Day. There was just groups of people everywhere, high-fiving people walking down the street. They should have been total strangers, and you wouldn't want to talk to them or anything, but instead, they were your brothers and sisters. Everybody was high-fiving each other, hugging each other, waving their flags from their country. It was just all, it was just an overwhelming experience. It wasn't like a concert, and it wasn't like a big sporting event, you know. It was just, it was very family. It was, we're all here for one reason, and just felt connected to everybody in such a neat way.
It's true. And we there were hundreds of thousands of people there, and we never felt like we were surrounded by strangers. We felt very safe. Mm-hmm. That was amazing. We'd never experienced anything like that before.
Mm-hmm. How about the Mass? What was your experience of a Mass with everybody?
Wow, where do you start with that? You know, going to Mass at home, sometimes I guess, if the church is really full, like on Christmas or Easter, it can seem like a long time. And yet we were there with hundreds of thousands of people praying and receiving, and the lines were so long, and yet it felt timeless. There was something remarkable about, going to Mass feels like you step out of time already and mm-hmm. into something beautiful, mysterious. When you're experiencing it, that magnitude, I'm struggling coming up with the words. How about you, Greg?
Well, I mean, we were there hours before Mass started. Hours before Mass. So that doesn't really happen
on
Sunday,
right?
We slept
outside.
There were hours.
We spent overnight.
We slept outside overnight. Yeah, that's right. We were there overnight waiting for it all. It was just this anticipation. And the Holy Father's Saint Pope John Paul II, he rides in a helicopter. You know, everyone's just cheering and just screaming. It was just amazing. And then, and of course, the parts of Mass were different languages, very universal, big choirs singing. And again, it was just a huge, huge
His arrival was so great, because Greg would come home from work, I would take my children and wait at the door, just anticipating, building up the anticipation for when Greg would walk through the door. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the door would open, and they'd be screaming, "Daddy's home! Daddy's home!" And that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt so right. And as for me as a convert, there was a fullness to that experience, a familial fullness that was so big. I can just feel my heart getting big just thinking about those moments.
And we're going to hear more about Colin's experience, who Colin not only converted, but became Father Colin Post and the pastor of St. Bartholomew's and been a priest of, what, about 20 years? Just a great gift. Do you have any advice? There's people who have just come back from World Youth Day or from a very powerful spiritual experience. What advice do you have for someone coming back from World Youth Day?
My first thing is to stay connected. Stay connected, be active, become active in the church. You have a part in the family, like everyone does. And to find that part and live it to your fullness. You know, God has granted us all gifts and interests and abilities. And we're meant to use them for His glory. And He has a place for everyone. And we all want to know our place and our strengths so that we can be a light in this world. That's what I would say.
How about Greg? What advice do you have for someone coming back from World Youth Day, from a World Youth Day high?
Yeah. If I'm doing what Susan said, you got to stay active, be active. You know, make sure you can go to Mass as often as you can, daily Mass if you can, frequent sacrament confession, and really get involved in something in your parish. We came back, and I know we were doing different Bible studies or speaker series.
And we've never stopped.
No, we didn't. So being active, I think, is really... So you could feel like connected. You could stay with that family feeling that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. And even ministries like your ministry with Cherish, ministries to married couples and really renewing marriages, and how the fruits keep coming.
If I can share with you one story about World Youth Day, I was not
going out to Denver. I remember, but I was actually sick that weekend. And I'll never forget, I had the flu, and I was in the basement of my sister's condo with her family. And I remember turning on EWTN and hearing, was it Dana, who sang, "We are one body in Christ." And I saw all these young people. And I'll never forget, it's like, what's happening? I've never seen so many young people together and all singing, "We are one body in Christ, and we do not stand alone." And it was such a moving, it's still to this day, it just imprinted on me. I'm like, wow. So even I'm watching it from the television, and it really affected me, and still to this day of just saying, like, that's what it means to be Catholic. That's what it means to be Catholic. And World Youth Day was just a powerful, even just seeing it on TV had a great impact on my life.
In our next segment, Father Colin is going to tell a little bit more of his story and how he was affected and shaped by your invitation. And praise God for someone being invited, just like you invited him, and the graces that came from that. So we'll be back in a moment. But Greg and Susan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I'm Father Brian Nolan for Catholic Review Radio, and we'll be back in a moment.
The Archdiocese of Baltimore makes the protection of children a leading priority in its parishes, schools, and other ministries. The Archdiocese seeks to keep kids safe through training and background checks and by implementing a zero-tolerance policy for anyone credibly accused of abusing a child. For more information about the Archdiocese's efforts to keep our children safe, please visit www.archbalt.org/accountability.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Father Michael Murphy, pastor of St. Joseph Monastery in Irvington, is not sure how much of a dent an August 5th gun buyback effort will make in the deadly violence that plagues Baltimore City, but he applauded the Archdiocese of Baltimore and Baltimore City Police for coordinating the mission to give residents of West Baltimore hope. The Archdiocese raised more than $50,000 to finance the buyback event. Police officers exchanged cash and gift cards for weapons retrieved from trunks of vehicles that formed a continuous line for several hours that wrapped around the Edmondson Village Shopping Center. The buyback secured 362 firearms, including 158 handguns and 17 semi-automatic weapons, among others. Police paid $200 for handguns, rifles, and shotguns, $300 for assault weapons. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. Demand for scholarships from the Maryland Boost Program, broadening options and opportunities for students today, is at record levels, according to the data shared in a July 31st public meeting. Maryland Matters reported the Maryland State Department of Education received about 7,000 applications from low-income families for $9 million in scholarships. Garrett O'Day, deputy director of the Maryland Catholic Conference, told the Boost Advisory Board that total need, based on the number of certified applicants for the 2023-24 school year, is double the $9 million appropriated by the state legislature. This year, there was an equal number of first-time and returning applicants, according to O'Day. Quote, "With the public interest and unprecedented demand for scholarships, we need to urge our state elected officials to recognize this demand from parents and continue to support Boost," he said. Boost is a state program that provides scholarships at Catholic and other religious and secular non-public schools for students eligible for the free or reduced price school meals program. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
With inviting surroundings, complete independence, and an unmatched quality of life, Mercy Ridge is the unparalleled choice for your retirement lifestyle. It's a way of living that promotes an active, healthier life. Located in Timonium, Maryland, Mercy Ridge Continuing Care Retirement Community features a beautifully landscaped 32-acre campus. The grounds, dining, and recreational amenities and residences are designed to provide a gracious lifestyle and a variety of exciting activities. Visit mercyridge.com.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbalt.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. My name is Father Brian Nolan. I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are blessed to have Father Colin Poston with us. Father Colin is a priest of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. He's the pastor of St. Bartholomew's. And this is the second half of our segment about World Youth Day Changed My Life. It's one thing to have a retreat high and you're like, wow, that really changed me. And then a few days later and goes, we're talking about today about the long-term fruits. And Father Colin's life was changed for the long term. So we heard a little bit from Greg and Susan in our first segment, your confirmation sponsors. Let's hear your side of the story, Father Colin. So a special welcome to you today.
Thank you. Thanks. Glad to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Father Colin, tell me about how you first heard about World Youth Day, because you weren't even Catholic.
That's right. So as you probably heard, I had two dear friends of mine, Greg and Susan Rohr, who had become and have become my very, very good friends, both Catholic. They had the great impulse and desire to drive from Hagerstown, Maryland to Denver, Colorado, August 1993, to experience World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado with Pope John Paul II and several hundred thousands of youth and young adults. So one day during the summer, they knew I was becoming interested in Catholicism. They actually invited me. They said, would you like to go to World Youth Day? So I was able to do it with my work schedule. And so I happily said yes. So we did that. So we drove on a pilgrimage all the way from Maryland to Colorado to experience this great, great festival. And it had obviously like a major impact on my life, not just, as you said, for the weekend, but one that changed me forever. So,
and tell me about, like, when you were driving out, I mean, here you're going to see a Pope and you're not Catholic. What were you thinking on the drive cross country about what you were about to experience?
Yeah, so I wasn't really sure completely what I was going to experience. I knew the Pope was a, you know, esteemed religious figure and dressed elegantly in white. I wasn't sure what to expect, except that I felt like God wanted me to go and the Holy Spirit was present. And sure enough, you know, when we got out there, we participated in prayer rallies and a big Catholic prayer service in Mile High Stadium. And then, of course, the big mass that they had at Cherry Creek Park, where we actually camped out overnight, like many of the youth have done, you know, this time around at World Youth Day this year. And it was just an amazing experience. One thing that was kind of life-changing for me was, obviously, the Pope was constantly preaching Christ. That was where we first heard the message, you know, do not be afraid to preach the gospel from the rooftops, you know, dear youth. But also the fact that, like, when we were at the Mass and when we were, you know, with everyone together at the park, that it was a very Catholic universal experience, that you kind of were kneeling and sitting and standing next to people from all over the world, you know, from North America, from Europe, from Africa, South America, Mexico, Australia, you know, the Far East. It was just very beautiful, and that we were all praying in the same way, you know, particularly with the Mass, but also just lifting up our prayers. So it was extremely inspiring. And after that, I actually went out as a Methodist and came back wanting to become Catholic.
which is phenomenal, especially it sounds like you experienced the universal church, right? Catholic means universal, and you saw just everybody coming together. And there's a fullness sense of that, especially at a youth gathering. I mean, how many how many people came out to Denver again?
I think the reports were 400,000, maybe 500,000 possibly. Yeah. But of course, the one this year has been even bigger than that.
Right.
One of the things that also impressed me was that even if we, you know, I speak English, another person might speak Spanish, another person French or Portuguese or whatever language, but we're all praying the same prayer, like we're all kneeling together, we're making the sign of the cross together, we're, you know, at that point I wasn't receiving communion, but everyone's receiving communion together. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a great statement that we're like in unison praying in peace and unity, you know, like the church teaches us. So it's just really, really powerful.
And obviously, I mean, you had the drive, the experience in the park. Any other highlights while you were there with John Paul II?
Well, we didn't get to like see him super close, but I just felt spiritually when I was praying at the Mass, almost like, because of course now I'm a priest, not only did I convert into the faith, but I ended up following the journey towards the priesthood. I felt like seeds were planted by him, you know, who's now a saint in the church, towards a call towards the priesthood. And certainly, you know, I was with Greg and Susan Rohr and a youth group from St. Peter's in Liberty Town. So, you know, a family, you know, God used a marriage and a family to nourish my faith. And now I'm serving families and marriages and the faith. And actually, Susan was actually pregnant with her daughter, Tessa, who is now my
daughter. That's a what a great connection to be able to have your future goddaughter. And you weren't even Catholic at the time.
that's correct. Yeah, pretty crazy.
Father Colin, what was it when you said you went out Methodist and you came back Catholic? Like, were you talking about it on the drive home, or is it once you got home? What was the next steps after you got back?
Yeah, so when we were driving out, Greg and Susan, we would talk a lot about the faith, and we would pray together, and as you know, we would drive and pray the rosary and that kind of thing. And then they were really into Scott Hahn, so we would like listen to like a audio Bible study on the way out and things like that. And at some point, it was just like everything just like clicked. It was just like, you know, this is like the one Catholic Holy Apostolic Church, you know, so I want to be Catholic. So I told them that, and they were ecstatic, of course. ended up kind of being my sponsors, you know, coming in through RCA. So then they explained what the process was, that I was already baptized, you know, as a Christian, but then I would learn the Catholic faith, and then learn about the faith and the Eucharist, and also like papal succession. Of course, you know, John Paul II is right there, you know, successor of Peter, and how that all followed. And so basically, Easter Vigil, April 2nd, 1994, I became Catholic, a member of the Roman Catholic Church. And then 2 days later, Tessa was born. So, it was really an amazing weekend and the start of an amazing journey. So, and then in 1996, that's where I entered Mount St. Mary's Seminary and met good people like yourself. So
that's great. Well, that's right. That's right. The mystery of providence of bringing us, we kept crossing paths in discernment. I remember that. Father Colin, there's a number of people who just came back from this World Youth Day with Pope Francis. What advice do you have for them? I mean, a lot of people had good fruits and great experiences, and we're just hearing some of the different stories, but we're about to hear more local stories. What advice would you have someone coming off a World Youth Day high?
Yeah, so a couple of thoughts. First would be to hold on to the gold nuggets that you experienced at World Youth Day, whether that was a word that you heard from the Pope or something that was spoken to you in Scripture or through music or something like that, and to hold on to that and bring that home with you. And then second would be to pray to the Holy Spirit and ask for a little bit of discernment on how God wants each one of us to take the fruits, you know, of World Youth Day back into our place, you know, back to our parish, back to our families, back to our workplace, our schools, wherever we may be, and trust that God is going to do something special with it, you know? So that would be my advice. And any way that you can engage with your brothers and sisters is only going to help. It's funny, this morning I was scrolling my Instagram, and there was a statement by someone that said something like that, basically the importance of inviting people to church or to you know, to prayer. And they said that like 86% of the people who were coming back to church is because they were invited by a friend. Basically that's what happened with me. Like Greg and Susan invited me. They said, would you like to come to Mass one day? You know? And I said, yes. And then they said even more boldly, would you like to come to Denver? And I said, yeah. And God rewarded all of that, you know? I would encourage the youth and the young adults to not be afraid to invite your friends, like just make an invitation, just like Jesus did, you know, come follow me and good things happen, you know,
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Father Colin, for joining us. So many fruits from World Youth Day, all the World Youth Days.
And may many fruits come from this World Youth Day with Pope Francis in Portugal. I'll never forget John Paul's a quote at World Youth Day where he said this: young people of today, Jesus Christ is calling you, the church needs you, and the Pope believes in you and expects great things from you. Jesus, but that whole invitation, so may it bear fruit. So, well, thank you for your time, Father Colin. Well, World Youth Day changed your life, and may it change many others, even hearing their stories, let it touch our hearts to take that next good step in faith. So, well, thank you for joining us, Father Colin. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Father Brian.
I'm Father Brian Nolan for Catholic Review Radio. May God bless you.
You're probably not getting much church news in your daily newspaper or on your local TV station. The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. There are so many ways to stay in touch with the Catholic Review. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Get fresh news every day online at catholicreview.org. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Catholic Review Media will inspire, teach, inform, and engage you wherever your faith takes you. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.